Here we go. If you'd like to speak a little bit now.
Sure. Good to be down here. Up here.
Great.
Depending on where we are.
Oh, no. This looks very good. I think these are good relative levels for how sensitive the two mics are. And if you'd keep that relative distance throughout, it's hard to remember. But all right. So I'll say welcome back to South Philadelphia Community Radio. This is WOOM-LP 92.9 FM Philadelphia. I'm very happy and pleased to have with us Ms. Mary Gay Scanlon, who is a candidate, the Democratic nominee. First off, belated congratulations for your primary win.
Thank you. I'm glad I could be here.
Okay. And there was a very crowded field in the primaries. Some people who have been listening to the station since near its inception may remember that we interviewed several of the other Democratic candidates at that time. We'd like to continue to do these interviews with the candidates for local office into the future. Why don't you just basically tell people who you are, what office you're running for, and in this case, where the new 5th District is?
Absolutely. So your listeners may know that this January, our Pennsylvania Supreme Court determined that all of our congressional districts across the entire state were so gerrymandered, they were in such strange shapes in order to allow the incumbents to pick their voters rather than for their voters to pick their elected officials. So our Supreme Court said that the districts were so gerrymandered they had to be redrawn. Now, Delaware County, which is where I live, most of Delaware County was represented by a district that became mocked nationally because it was called Goofy Kicking Donald. It was such a strange shape. So all the districts were redrawn, and the new 5th district includes all of Delaware County, a little piece of Montgomery County, but then south and southwest Philadelphia below Mifflin Street and Passyunk. So to me, this seems like a great district. It's a regional district, which reflects the fact that people, you know, may live in the city and work in Delaware County or vice versa. There's an awful lot of jobs in the district, so it's an exciting opportunity to try to work on workforce development, education development.
Terrific. And I will go right into issue-oriented questions. I'll let you know that what I do with everybody as well is I like to look at the FEC filings in the Center for Responsive Politics and see who's funding the campaigns and what impact that might have issue by issue. So I would start with I've looked at your materials, your social media presence, your online issues page, the text. You very helpfully, and I wish more people would do this, you provided the entire text of your campaign kickoff speech, which I wish more candidates would do on your website. And it strikes me that for me, what is the central issue of our time as Americans is not being handled in either the social media feed or the issues pages of either candidate for this office, which is war. The United States spends most of its discretionary budget on war. We've had a disastrous 20 to 30 year uninterrupted perpetual war regimen in which we've spent between $6 and $7 trillion borrowed imprinted dollars in the Middle East. War-making powers are vested in the Constitution with Congress, which is the office that you're running for. We still have body bags coming back from Afghanistan, from Iraq even this year, and for some reason Niger. We're illegally occupying Syria. We're involved in the quasi-genocidal war in Yemen. This for me, is not only the central financial issue for the government at the federal level, but is also it's our central ethical issue to decide what kind of society we have and what our values are. And I see, I've looked at 774 of your tweets. I actually did a search on those, and I found one reference to Afghanistan, which was actually kind of a glancing reference to the percentage of Afghani legislators, which are female versus Pennsylvania. It's very close, incidentally. But nothing about any of that. Well, Iran, Iraq, Syria, Libya, Yemen, Somalia, Niger, Russia, North Korea, or any of the other places where we actually spend more than half of our discretionary budget. So I was hoping to go through some of that with you, and I'd like to give you a chance to respond to all that initially.
Well, I think what you noted from our social media page is our responses to the issues that are being raised most often when I'm out talking to constituents. By and large, what people, you know, the voters that we're talking to are concerned about are really kitchen table issues. People are very, very concerned about healthcare and whether they're going to be able to afford a doctor when they need one. They're concerned about their kids' schools and what's going on with right. public school funding. They're very concerned about jobs and whether or not they're going to be able to get and keep a job that's going to feed their family and whether their kids are going to be able to have good jobs. And then with seniors, they're very concerned, particularly in light of Mitch McConnell's statements over the last week, about whether or not this Republican Congress is going to try to balance the budget that it bankrupted with these tax cuts that overwhelmingly went to corporations and the wealthiest among us, whether they're going to try to balance the budget on the backs of Medicare, Social Security, and other social safety network expending. So absolutely, foreign policy is important, and we should be looking at that. But in terms of what's impacting people's lives day to day, they're very, very concerned about what's happening to their families, you know, other than obviously military families, but what is happening to their families and budget
and that
kind of thing going forward.
Well,
so
right. First off, I mean, I'd say I just asked a direct question about foreign policy, and you gave a multiple paragraph response, which again did not deal with.
Actually, I thought your question was your interest in foreign policy, but why our social media wasn't reflecting your interest in foreign policy.
But
I'm happy to talk about foreign policy.
Well, okay. Certainly. All right. I would just start with the fact that, I mean, obviously when more than half of our discretionary spending is on warfare, there's your answer to healthcare, pensioners, education, and so forth. Every country in the world where people are living better than the average American, certainly in this neighborhood, if you look at Denmark or you look at the United States, you know, Denmark doesn't have more resources than we do, just the opposite. They have very few resources, but the resources they have, they spend on their own people. And we're sending, we just had an American soldier come back in a body bag on his 13th deployment, his 8th combat deployment within the last 2 months. That to me that's where all our treasure is going. To me, the central issue, when more than 50% of your budget is on something that almost everybody finds to be unnecessary, this is obviously the source of where you could have the money for human needs. I'd refer to Dwight David Eisenhower's farewell speech, you know, the guns and butter, we went guns.
Did you have a question for me?
Well, yeah, I mean, basically, to me, it's kind of obvious that if you're concerned about kitchen table issues, I would say, too, this is one of those neighborhoods where you do have military families because people get caught up in the economic draft. So people like my father, who was drafted to Vietnam, who grew up down here, they're the ones who end up, you know, 20 suicides a day, legs blown off, come back in a body bag sometimes. And so it is, for a lot of people around here, I mean, that is the kitchen table. It's a matter of life and death. But just to get into those issues, and I would start somewhere that's a little bit strange, and I hadn't actually started this with the other candidates, but there's an exceptional circumstance here. Former Governor Ed Rendell was your kickoff guy for your campaign. He sort of introduced you, opening act, as it were. And I believe this would probably be via your mutual relationship with David L. Cohen, I'm guessing.
No, that's actually not true.
No.
I've worked with Governor Rendell since the 1980s. He started a nonprofit called the Support Center for Child Advocates that provides free legal services to children in the abuse and neglect system. He started that when he was DA. So I've been a board member and a volunteer for the Support Center for Child Advocates since 1985. So that was the first opportunity I had to work with the governor. I've also worked with both the governor and his wife, Midge Rendell, on issues involving education. Of course, he did bring more education dollars to our public schools than any other governor ever has. But also, Midge Rendell and I serve on the advisory board for Constitution High School, which is a magnet public school in Philadelphia that focuses on issues of civics and developing the next generation of leaders for our city.
Okay. Well, what I was going to ask is that prior to that, the last that there was kind of national attention to Ed Rundell was in the same breath as Rudy Giuliani and Howard Dean, who all three of whom have taken, in Ed Rundell's case, we know at least $150,000 from an organization called the Mujahideen-e Khalq, which is an Iranian revolutionary group and some would argue a cult. And I'm just my concern there was, I'm wondering, has anybody from the MEK approached your campaign or spoken to you at all in any way?
I have no knowledge of anyone from the MEK or anyone else. Can we talk about my run for Congress as opposed to your interests?
Well, it's not just my interest. It's just I'm curious because we're kind of gearing up for yet another Middle Eastern war here. And in the last couple of weeks, Rudy Giuliani's been making a lot of, I would argue, lunatic speeches about it attacking Iran. And he gets money from the same source, the MEK. And I was just curious as to if that's a group that you're familiar with or if anybody, because I have a feeling that they may approach you once in office.
I can't imagine why, but I mean, the issues that I've been running on, as you noted, are on our website, and I've been talking about since the start of my campaign, which I launched myself, mm-hmm. And is based upon the fact that I think foundationally we need to look at issues about, are we being appropriately represented? Is there voter suppression going on in this country? Are we educating our children so that they are prepared for a 21st century economy as opposed to a 19th century economy? And how do we help lift the working folks in this region into a position where they're able to assure that their children are going to have a better life than they did?
Okay. Well, knocking them out quickly, would you support a withdrawal from Iraq?
I don't think that's currently on the table. It's certainly a very complex situation.
So no to that. I'll put you down.
That's not what I said.
Okay.
You are mischaracterizing both the nature of this interview and whether or not it was supposed to be informing folks, listeners.
We're in Iraq. Would you support a withdrawal from Afghanistan?
Again, we need a highly developed foreign policy.
Right.
Straight up yes/no answers are usually wrong. I don't adopt
really?
Extremist positions in any direction.
Well, okay.
Do you have any questions about
think,
what
I don't
the
think
district
it's an extremist.
Looks like and my plans for the district?
Well,
or do
yeah,
you
I mean
just
that
want
is
to advance your foreign policy agenda.
Well, you're running for United States Congress, and war powers are. Well, let me ask you that: do you find the War Powers Act to be constitutional?
Okay, I think, you know, I came here in good faith to discuss the
right, and you're running for U.S.
For
you're running for U.S. Congress, and
exactly.
War powers are in the Constitution,
are part
in Article
and
1.
Of it, and
yes.
Certainly, this Congress has failed to exercise appropriate oversight with this administration.
Okay.
However, if you don't have any further questions,
I have a ton of questions here. I have a ton of questions. I'm just starting with foreign policy because it's more than half of our discretionary budget that you as a legislator would be forming. And you would be voting yes or no on appropriations for the continued fight country by country. That's part of the job.
Right, although they do not do the appropriations country by country, as I'm sure you know.
Well, in many cases,
course,
they do ask for
issue
additional appropriations
is
that way.
That this administration has given billions and billions of dollars to defense and the war machine.
Right.
And it has not taken nearly the look at whether or not those expenses are justified that it has when it has gone to slash public school funding.
Yeah.
Public benefits.
I agree. And the education
funding.
The entire every Democrat in the Senate voted for the Trump military budget.
And I'm not running for the Senate.
Right.
As you noted, from the beginning of my campaign, I have talked about the fact that we need to take the same scalpel-like approach to our defense spending that has been taken to our domestic spending.
Okay.
I'm completely aware of the fact that 50% of the budget goes to military spending, and it supports troops in 150 different countries. Now, right. As someone whose sister and father and grandfathers and uncles all were in the military, I certainly do not advocate that we don't appropriately support our military personnel who we put in right. harm's way, but we right. obviously need to do a better job of 60, where we engage and when.
69% of American military veterans polled just in the last couple of weeks stated that they'd like to see a withdrawal from Afghanistan, so it seems like that would be supporting the military. I mean, I'd like to support the American military by not putting them in harm's way. I mean, my father was, for example, injured in Vietnam. But we can move on along from that. We can focus on some domestic issues if you like. I was just one of your staff just indicated that I should stop asking about.
That's not at all what happens.
No. Okay. I thought the.
Didn't even make
Well, I did see the cutoff at that. We have okay.
Since this isn't live, can we take a break for a second?
Well, we can if you want, certainly.
If you wouldn't mind pushing pause.
Well, I could, sure.